A new group of political appointees has moved into the corner offices of the Environmental Protection Agency in the Department of the Interior. Deputy secretaries, assistant secretaries, policy advisors, and chief lawyers. Environmentalists filled most of those jobs during the Clinton years, but that era has ended. At the country's two most powerful environmental agencies, almost all of key sub-cabinet positions are occupied by industry lobbyists or outspoken critics of the environmental community. NPR's John Nielsen has more.
When George W. Bush announced that Gail Norton would be his pick for Secretary of the Interior, environmentalists were shocked. They warned that, for starters, Norton would try to make it easier to drill for oil in Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. The president's response, basically, was that Norton had better push for drilling.
Well, guess who else thinks we ought to, in order to make sure we got enough energy for the nation? The president-elect. It shouldn't surprise people that I pick people that share a philosophy with me. And we're going to have a balanced policy when it comes to federal lands, and she's the right person to lead the Interior Department.
Like the president, Norton talks a lot about the need to balance economic needs against environmental goals. But as the Interior Secretary has filled key sub-cabinet jobs in her department, environmentalists say signs of balance have been sorely lacking. According to Dave Albersworth of the Wilderness Society, the secretary has now surrounded herself with former industry lobbyists and vocal critics of the mainstream environmental community.
Just run down the list here if you'd like me to. The Deputy Secretary, Steve Griles, is a former lobbyist for the coal, oil, and mining industry. Bill Myers, the new top legal officer at the Interior Department, is a former lobbyist for the cattlemen. Bennett Raley, the new Assistant Secretary for Water and Science, testified as recently as a year and a half ago that if he had his druthers, the Endangered Species Act should be repealed. Jim Kazin, who was a former official in the Reagan administration and the Bush administration, has a long record of trying to thwart protection for endangered species and helping out the oil and gas industry.
And it's not just in Washington that this is happening. Albersworth says it's the same at important field offices. Take Alaska.
Camden Toohey, who was appointed by Secretary Norton to be her special assistant for Alaska, was the executive director of a group called Arctic Power, which is the main industry lobbying group trying to open up the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. I mean, I could go on and on here.
Interior jobs that didn't go to former industry lobbyists went to environmental critics like Lynn Scarlett of the Reason Foundation, a libertarian think tank that opposes almost all forms of government regulation. Albersworth says none of these jobs were taken by members of the environmentally moderate wing of the Republican Party, with the possible exception of Fran Minella, the new director of the National Park Service.
There is no balance here at all. It's very similar to the Reagan administration. Very, very similar. People from the same part of the countries with the same attitudes coming in and announcing that they're going to roll back the changes of the previous 4 years.
A similar change may be taking place at the Environmental Protection Agency, where Administrator Christy Whitman has also made a series of environmentally controversial choices. One of them involves the nomination of Linda Fisher, a former vice president at Monsanto, as Whitman's deputy administrator. But Whitman's most controversial choice, by far, is the nomination of Donald Shrigardis, former chief of the Ohio Environmental Protection Agency, for the job of enforcement chief at the national EPA. Ohio has some of the country's dirtiest air and water, and environmentalists like Ed Hopkins of the Sierra Club say Shrigardis is partly to blame for that. Hopkins says the choice of the Ohio official sends an ugly message to environmentalists.
Well, it says to me that they aren't serious about forcing the corporations that are polluting our air and water to clean up. They want someone who will compromise with the corporations rather than be the cop on the beat.
Neither Shrigardis nor Whitman were available to respond to the Sierra Club's criticism. In the past, Shrigardis has defended his record in part by arguing that Ohio's air and water actually got much cleaner while he was running the state EPA. His nomination now appears to be in trouble in the Senate, where Democratic senators are blocking a confirmation vote. So far, the other nominees haven't drawn that much attention. Confirmation hearings that have taken place have been short and mostly uneventful. Almost all of Norton's choices have now been approved. Some people have high hopes for these new nominees. Mark Roscoe, a Washington lawyer who is also a former Republican governor of the state of Montana, hopes that they will move quickly to take environmental power away from big federal agencies and give it back to businesses and local governments. Roscoe also says he's deeply insulted by the implication that businessmen, even lobbyists, can't possibly care about the environment.
I regret, to be very honest with you, that sometimes the debate about pollution itself becomes polluted by presumption and allegation and suspicion that taints the process. And the automatic presumption that somehow because of your occupation you can't bring thoughtful judgment to the exercise of your responsibilities, I find to be very unfortunate.
Lynn Scarlett, the libertarian who is now an assistant secretary for policy at the Department of the Interior, says she agrees heartily with that. She also hopes the mainstream environmental community will watch closely as this country moves away from what she says is an era marked by top-heavy environmental rules and regulations toward what she hopes will be an era of common-sense environmentalism. She says there will almost certainly be more logging and mining in this new era, maybe even oil drilling in Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Her goal is to prove that all of these things can be done without damaging the environment.
I guess if I would leave folks with one thought, it is that there's no reason to believe that we got all of our institutional arrangements perfectly correct, and that we need to think of environmentalism as the outcomes. Have we made the air cleaner? Have we made the water cleaner? Rather than to think of particular regulatory tools as the test of commitment to environmentalism.
Lynn Scarlett wants to add that where she comes from, lots of people are proud to be thought of as a throwback to the Reagan era. John Nielsen, NPR News, Washington.